Welcome to Calming the Chaos Podcast, where we help you find peace in a chaotic world. I'm your host, Tracy Canella, licensed mental health counselor. Calming the Chaos provides self-help resources for people in crisis. It's not a substitute for counseling or psychotherapy. Thanks for tuning in. And now, let the chaos begin. The human brain is an awesome thing, and it's a vital organ in all of our bodies. And I know very little about the actual functioning of the brain, even though I know about therapeutically how to create change and how to use the brain and that the brain is involved. I do not know a whole lot about neuroscience at all. Fortunately, I had somebody contact me who wanted to be interviewed on Calming the Chaos. Her name is Dominika, and she is going to be talking to us about neuroencoding and other methods that can help people improve the quality of their lives by using neuroscience and a mixture of neuroscience and coaching. So here is Dominika to give you a little bit more information about herself and the great stuff that she is doing and helping people. Welcome, Dominika, to Calming the Chaos Podcast.
Hello, Tracy, and hello, everybody. I am so honored to be your guest, and I hope I get to serve you with some ideas and some things that you might want to implement in your life to, as Tracy said, have better quality of life. I am a brain coach, and I'm a neuroencoding specialist at the Neuroencoding Institute, and I absolutely love neuroscience, especially because now we have enough knowledge to make it easy and practical. And that is something fascinating. It used to be so far away, so difficult to understand. Now it's at our fingertips and we can actually use it to make our life better.
Yeah, can you explain what neuroencoding is? For people, even me, a therapist, I should know about the brain, right? And how all these things, neurons and synapses or whatever works. But yeah, can you explain what it is?
So neuroencoding is one of techniques that is used in neuroscience, where we use the neural pathways and we create new neural pathways and we use neuroplasticity. And then we help the neural pathways become a permanent behavioral pattern or a changed behavioral pattern that will override the old behaviors. And although psychologists have been working on this and therapists have been doing a great job, now we have a lot of shortcuts because of the studies of the brain and because we understand which part of the brain is responsible for what. Most of the time, we still have plenty to discover. We're able to reverse engineer, and neuroencoding uses your body, your mind, your neuroplasticity. Depending on your age, we'll use it a little bit differently because the way neuroplasticity works changes with age, and it's absolutely possible to change your brain after 25. So just to be very clear, we have neuroplasticity till the day we die. And the more we practice, the better we get at it. Mm-hmm. And these are specific exercises that use psychology, neuroscience, put together knowledge about the brain so we have the best results. For example, we use elements of our brain and how our brain associates things, and we either break that apart, which is used in EMDR, or we put that back together, which we use in neuroencoding. It is creating a synapses where we can input new behaviors, and then we practice that over and over with repetition, which takes a little bit from cognitive and behavioral therapy, but not all of it. And we merge that with chemical releases in the brain, and then it works.
That sounds amazing. And so, I know there's been advances in how we do things. There's been the TMS or TMR, the magnetic sort of stimulation sort of thing that people do. Again, I'm a person who does talk therapy and hypnotherapy and stuff like that. So this is so fascinating to me. And so you started out you have an MS in sociology and also in education. You started out in a different field, but then you started to study under, is it Dr. Amen?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And so you somehow decided to shift gears. What made you want to shift gears and work on this area of study and health?
Well, this is a fascinating story. So I was a coach for many, many years. I was a career coach and I was extremely well paid and I was extremely unfulfilled. And then when I was encountering my life challenges, somebody uses this cute term, life was lifing. So when life was lifing for me, I said, this cannot be life. And I started exploring different ways of helping myself. I used therapists, I used psychologists, and then I run into coaches. And that was a long time ago. And we only had life coaches and nobody really knew what that was. And the trainings were very different. And to be honest, those people that I've hired just cut down the pain and suffering and anger and disappointment and a lot of things I was experiencing to the minimum. They helped me within 5-6 months to get over certain things that in therapy, I was already on year two. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some phenomenal therapists and you know there are issues like OCD, which I prefer to give to therapists because they're specializing in it and they're absolutely amazing. So all of these professions, we all work in the same area, but we have different competences. So for me, that was it. And I started working on me, reworking myself because I realized that my life, I wasn't happy. And truth is, we all want to be happy. We all want to have a quality of life. We all want to wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, this is going to be amazing today. I'm curious what's going to happen to me today. And that is actually something that we can literally program into our brain. Now, I've learned that from Dr. Amen after I ran into him about 3.5 years ago, where he was doing a program with Dr. Joseph McClendon III, who is a neuropsychologist. And Dr. Amen is a neuropsychiatrist. So a beautiful combination of medicine, psychology, and neuroscience. And I fell in love because I have that science background. I'm like, oh my God, what if this works? And boy, does it work. And till now, and the program was 3.5 years ago, both of the gentlemen give us trainings every week and we upgrade our knowledge constantly and we're being trained on new things. So it was probably the best investment of my life because I'm excited to show people how they can reverse engineer literally the most powerful part of their body, which is their brain. And most people don't realize that their brain is absolutely lying to them on a daily basis. You create thoughts that are not real and you don't even think, you think them, but they're not really attached to anything. And they get you feeling in some kind of way. Your brain also is a master of optimization, like Kaizen to the level X. Why do I say that? Because it is designed to conserve energy and anything and everything it can create into a habit or unconscious behavior, it is excited to do so. And very often without our knowledge, it does that because every time we think and we concentrate and we learn new things, it uses more energy and our brain is designed to protect us. So it goes, oh my God, what if something happens and I won't have enough energy? Let's create a habit so I don't have to think about it. And those habits are created without you knowing. So wherever you are in life right now and whatever your behaviors are, until you recognize that you have them, you're really not aware and it's not your fault because we didn't have that knowledge. Nobody taught you that this is what's happening. Now we know that amygdala and your, I used to say that all the time wrong, hypothalamus, but I used to say hippopotamus. I don't know why. I guess I'm not a native speaker. And for some reason, for quite a while, it was a hippopotamus. It's a hypothalamus. So those two things are responsible for your anger management. And there are so many things that we know now about the brain. First of all, it's oxygenation. Second of all, is your gut okay? Are you having stomach issues? Is your lining okay? Are you producing neurotransmitters enough for them to get to the brain? Right? Because we all produce them, but are there enough of them to go through those little tiny vessels and get to our brain? And then next question is, you know, are you a person in an environment that is in constant stress? That is not helping your anger management issues. So look at those simple things. For example, sunlight. We already know that sunlight is good for us in certain doses. But did you know that if you really want to absorb vitamin D3, it has to be in the morning? It's actually 20 minutes in the morning. It won't work as well if you go in the afternoon. The more you're outside, the better, but it won't absorb. Most medical professionals, they look at your blood work and they go, okay, it's between, I believe it's between a 30 and 100, you're there. Okay, you're good. Your vitamin D is good, which is actually not a vitamin, it's a hormone. So what happens is you go, oh, I'm great. Well, for your brain is not great. There's something called an optimum of vitamin D3, which is necessary for your brain to function properly. And that is what Dr. Amen recommends, between 60 and then 75, 80. And again, this is specific knowledge to brain. So nothing is going to happen with your body per se if you don't have enough, but your brain will not be optimized. You know, your brain decides how you breathe, how you react, how you smile, when you feel good. It reacts how, you know, it works with your heart. It works with your organs. It literally decides about everything. So it would make sense to take care of it and make it as functional and as optimum and as healthy as possible. And brain coaching takes all that knowledge and simplifies it and puts it in simple terms so you can use it.
Well, and you said something earlier that was super cool and gave me a lot of hope, and hopefully the listeners too, is that did you say your brain is happy to change? Is that what you said?
I did. And it is happy to change if you direct it. And that's very important. It is very happy to change when you direct it. Of course, it's going to give you some pushback because that requires more energy. It's not the usual, so it requires it concentrating, but there are ways to trick your brain. So you want to learn one of the ways, for example, how to trick your brain to learn 60% more in one session than usual without studying more?
Sure.
Okay. So this comes from a Stanford study. Our brain needs to feel off balance. And when we're off balance, our triggers and our parts of our brain react going, oh my God, there is something wrong. So what you do, you stand on one leg or on two hands, whatever makes you feel off balance, like you're about to fall. And you do that for 2-3 minutes. After you do that, you sit down and study between 60 and 90 minutes. What you do next, you go into deep rest or deep sleep for 20 minutes. That, as they call protocol, you know, the scientific way, I call this just the way you do it, right? This exercise to simplify allows your brain to retain at least 60% more knowledge than you would. You learn quicker, faster, you memorize better. Why? Because we forget that neuroplasticity and memories are formed when we're in deep rest or in deep sleep. They're not happening while we're processing information, because your brain is getting so much information that it's not able to link to anything. Mm-hmm. So what we do, we actually do that exercise, and I guarantee you that you will study less. So if you need to memorize, get yourself off balance so you feel like you're about to fall, then your brain goes, oh my God, there's something happening. I need to direct my attention to it. That's when you sit down, you start studying. Obviously, if you're, you know, an ice skater or you walk on your hands on a daily basis, please don't choose that, because you need to feel off balance like you're about to fall. And don't fall. Don't do things that are dangerous. We're talking about a safe environment, please. And that works. There are plenty of studies, and you can read them on, you know, done by Stanford. They're absolutely amazing how your brain goes, you know, gets alerted, and then it goes, okay, I need to concentrate on this. But the rest is absolutely necessary. It's not resting because you're tired. It is getting yourself into the brain wave state that actually allows deep rest, which allows the brain to connect the memories and the knowledge into emotions and other elements in your brain, so it stays there. And notice that most people go through drastic changes when there is a high emotional attachment to whatever is happening. Mm-hmm. That's when we remember things. If I ask you what you did 5 weeks ago at 5 p.m., you will not be able to recall that unless your brain is atypical and it's just so unusual, but most people won't. But if an American, we would ask you, what did you do on 9/11? I guarantee you that 90% of us remember where we were. I remember I was sitting in a car listening to the radio and I just left my friend's house and I was about to drive off. And I heard that there was a plane flying into a building. And I thought that, you know, I looked at the, my like watch and I'm like, it's not for April Fool's. What are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us will have that recollection. Why? Because it had a high emotional impact. Our brain connected that information to an emotion.
Okay. Wow. So if anybody out there wakes up habitually at 3 a.m. and wants to learn something anyway, so what you do is you get up and you do like a yoga pose you can't do safely, of course.
Yes.
Throw yourself off balance. You study your stuff and go back to bed. Have a deep sleep, right?
That is an option. And if you habitually wake up at 3 a.m., the thing is that most likely this is the time you have a cortisol spike, which means you're living in a high stress environment.
Mm. I have a lot of clients who actually do wake up at 3 a.m., so that might be helpful for them to get tested or checked out.
Yeah,
and the
absolutely.
Cool thing is you have, don't you have charts and monitors and things that you can actually look at and tell if a person, you know, what specific kind of help a person needs just by looking at some of these things, this data?
Absolutely. So as a brain coach, I don't do scans. I don't do tests. I recommend what you do. And then you go to the right doctor to make sure that you're led properly. But I do work with your doctor if necessary, or I recommend what you could do. Now, when it comes to your brain, what we do, we send you to a clinic. I send you to Dr. Amen, but if you have any other clinics that are out there, please feel free. And it's called a SPECT scan. And SPECT scan shows blood flow and oxygenation in your brain depending on a stimuli. And that's how we have discovered, for example, that there are 7 types of ADHD. And every type of ADHD, if you have it, because quite often people are overdiagnosed and it turns out it's just lack of skills, not ADHD, or certain behaviors that became a pattern, but that's a different story. Mm-hmm. About 4% of the population probably has ADHD that is actually visible on scans. And ADHD is visible on a SPECT scan. There's something called a ring of fire. There's something called a tunnel vision. So 7 different types. And that's why I highly recommend if you have been diagnosed, go get a brain scan, a SPECT scan, and see which type, if you really have it, or is it, for example, because if you don't have ADHD, it's not going to come out on that scan. It's not. So then, you know, okay, well, it didn't come out, so I don't have ADHD. So that means A, it could be depression. B, I just don't have skills and I need to work on my patterns, behaviors, thoughts, and a few other things we can work out with supplements and with a coach or with a therapist or with a psychologist, whoever works best for you. And then if they scan you and they run you through, we do have assessments on ADHD type, but that's not definitive. I don't diagnose, but it gives me an idea. And if something comes out on that test assessment that, you know, it's positive or you have a lot of points in certain areas, I'll send you for a brain scan, because how we work with you will depend on an ADHD type. And one of my clients who was 67. She's now just finished. So is 67. She came to me and she goes, I have so much memory problems and I'm so disorganized. And at the beginning, I didn't think much of it. But after 5 sessions, I'm like, can you please run this assessment for me from Dr. Amen? And we run the ADHD assessment. She showed up 4 on a highest scale out of 7. And
wow.
Interesting thing was that she had tunnel vision and then she had problems with memory and other things. She had ADHD. Her brain was overreacting or underperforming at the same time in different areas that were colliding. So what we did, we worked with supplements. We created different types of behaviors. We created the whole work plan for her to change her day so we could make her ADHD a real superpower instead of something that is holding her back. Mm-hmm. And I also recommended that she see a psychiatrist who deals with this from Dr. Amen that has basis of my training and way more, right? So right. What we did, we put her on medication, but minimal, because she was working with me and we were using supplements just to calm her brain down. And at the end, she goes, I really am doing well without, like, I want to try without the medication, just with supplements. And with the, you know, medical professional, we just said, okay, let's try. And she stayed on supplements. She's perfectly fine. One of the things she does with her ADHD time, she does Qigong. So that's actually a technique that you can use in the mornings, and it clears your brain. It's phenomenal for people with ADHD. Phenomenal. We created a certain work environment that she would be able to do tunnel vision, which works for her, and she concentrates, zooms in on something, but there would be things that will bring her out of it. Then she would have specific breaks, and we created a schedule where she works best picking up phone calls when she's not concentrating. So what we did, we actually adapted her brain into her environment, and we made it work for her.
Wow. And that's the thing about improving the quality of life, right? I mean, this includes all the emotions or the life domains. And, you know, even just hearing you talk gives me a little bit more hope. And I know that a lot of people are struggling with that right now. They do feel very depressed and hopeless. Like there's nothing I can do to get out of maybe my financial situation or my job situation. I'm miserable in my relationship or whatever. And I just don't feel very much hope. And I wonder, you were just sharing that one success story. I don't know if you can think of a success story that really helped a person to identify something that would give them a little bit more hope of even living a better quality of life, just something that's better than what they've got, and or believing in themselves, something to that theme, because there's a lot of that going on right now.
So one of my clients, and she was feeling like she's failing in life. She is 36 years old, and she decided to open her own company after being for 12 years in one company and getting to a point where she was an important member, making $150,000 a year. Great income. She goes, I'm unhappy. This is not for me. I want to have my own company. And she ended up with me about 5 months in, very frustrated, very feeling uncomfortable that her life is falling apart. This is not working. She's a failure. And what we did, because your brain also loves lumping everything together, it's easier to categorize and put it in one place. So what she did, she compared her journey of being an entrepreneur and the income of 5 months of being an entrepreneur to something she did for 12 years. So what we did, we dismantled that idea. First question was, hey, how long have you worked for that company? 12 years. What was your first paycheck? How much were you making first time when you got there a year? Well, $32,000. And how long did it take you to get to $150,000? 12 years. How long have you been doing your business? 5 months. How much have you made? $50,000. Interesting. So basically, within 5 months, you made more than you made when you started in a year. And this is brand new business. You've never been in it. And you're comparing your income to something you've done for 12 years, and you've built your reputation. You've built your skills. So what her brain did, forgot the whole process of 12 years and compared to a snapshot of her life of 12 years, $150,000, to something she was doing for 5 months. Granted, she was doing phenomenally well. You do know that at least 70% of businesses go out of business the first year they start. So she was already paying her bills with that business, substituted part of her income, and she was able to support herself, and she already had 10 clients within 5 months. I mean, how awesome is that? And one of the things we forget is that our brain actually is looking for a journey, not a destination. And to help you get out of this, I want you to think, especially if you're a man or if you're a woman watching men watching sports, I want you to think about this. How do they watch sports? Their favorite team. What they do is they see this dude having a ball, whatever the sports go. Oh my God, yes, 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 go, go, go. And he just moved like 5 feet. That's it. And they're so excited and they're cheering him on. Oh, he's all lost. You lost it. Oh, that's okay. You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. And they're cheering him on. But the guy didn't lose it, you know, didn't win anything yet. The team hasn't won. And they're so excited, like, that, you know, it was just a miracle. They support every tiny move forward. Notice that they're supporting the journey. And what they're enjoying is actually being in the journey and the tiny progress that they're making towards the goal. The final is not as important. And what studies have shown, if you feel depressed, doesn't mean you are depressed. Your feelings are a release of chemicals, and we have control over that. I'm not saying what you're not feeling is not real. It is real. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we can get control over it. So ask yourself, what amazing thing you did today? Like, I, for a person who has problems with feeling excited about life, I would assume that serotonin is low or dopamine, but outside of the brain stuff, I would go, okay, well, first of all, I want you to go to a mirror and do the mirror exercise. And it is a phenomenal exercise. I want you to go to the mirror and I want you to, if you're watching this, do it with me, do it to the camera, give me a high five. Now, look what you just did. You smiled. Did I tell you to smile?
No.
It was an automatic response with the release of dopamine. Now, we have some things that are programmed into us with society. Let's use it to our advantage. So go to that mirror, feel like a crazy person, give yourself a high five in a mirror and say, Dominica, I love you. And do that every freaking day. Now, what happens is at the beginning, you will feel super uncomfortable and you'll feel like a crazy person. And with time, it will become more natural because at the end of the day, you are the king or the queen of your life. And then look at your day and go, okay, one thing that went well, just one, and celebrate that. I got out of bed. If you're depressed, that's a success. I got out of bed. So put on music, move around, dance, use your body. I've never seen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but have you ever seen an unhappy person, depressed person jumping up and down screaming, yay! I got it. I'm awesome. And dancing.
No.
Yeah. See, our brain is connected to our body. There's no, there is a way, like forced laugh yoga is phenomenal. It actually allows your brain to release happy hormones into your body. It changes your state. Your body is a way to your brain. One of the first things for anybody who's depressed, we always recommend walking in green areas for about 20 minutes a day. Absolutely mandatory. There's not a better way of exercising. It doesn't have to be strenuous. You don't have to be exhausted. Going for a walk works just fine. Just fine. Another thing you can look at is I brush my teeth. Yes, I brush my teeth. I don't smell. Fantastic. Right? So little celebrations, and they sound absurd, but we got to start somewhere. Right. And the truth is, that's the part of the journey. Your life is made up of those little things. Learning how to put attention on the journey and on those little things allow you to take away the concentration on what's going wrong. And there is another thing with your brain. Your brain, as I said, loves to lump things together. So people say, I had a horrible day. My day was awful. Ask yourself, was my whole day awful? Well, in the morning, Kate, I don't know, spilled the coffee on me. Okay, anything else happen? Well, no. Oh, so the morning was awful. Well, yeah. So you're saying that how many? 20 minutes? 2 hours? Well, it was like 40 minutes. I was mad. I had to clean things. Okay, so 40 minutes out of your day was awful. Well, yeah. So we can say that your day was great besides that 40 minutes. Well, yes. So what we do, we disprove your brain. And that's one of the super important parts, remembering that your brain lies to you and generalizes things. That is a simple way you can help yourself on a daily basis. Force yourself to question your thoughts. Question what you say to yourself. And we're not going to into vocabulary that is connected to an emotional state. Now, I'm going to make one disclaimer here that most people don't realize that. If you're bilingual, work on yourself in a language that you use till the age of 7, because the associations were formed in the very beginning stages of your life. So if you are in a bad mood, depressed, and in your household, you spoke a different language than you speak now, do those questioning and working on your emotional states in the language you used up to the age of 7, because that's where your belief systems and emotional reactions are being formed.
Wow. Gosh, I am so overwhelmed because there you just gave us a plethora of skills to use that are so simple, so easy, and they were just boom, 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 one after the other. I feel just absolutely blessed to have just witnessed what you just said. One thing I do want to ask is, do you work with people at all who have chronic pain, either fibromyalgia, or they come in saying they have fibromyalgia, or they have some sort of chronic pain in their body at all? And then, yeah, because the brain is connected and is part of the body.
So what I would say, I have found from people when I did the research, what I do could work on it, but I think it will take way too long. What I have found till now, with all the research that I've done, studies that I've read, and people that I've talked to who have used this technique, I would recommend going to a psychiatrist who actually, the clinic that everybody recommends is in Arizona, and it is ketamine treatment. Mm-hmm. Quite a few people that I know that had chronic pain and and especially chronic pain after surgeries, phantom pains, they have specially trained coaches for permanent pain. Those people literally have been trained to work with that psychiatrist with ketamine treatment. They have more knowledge than I do. Yes, I can help you, but I think you would be better off to get that done quicker. Those are usually up to 5 sessions and the pain is gone.
Wow. Well, I'll have to get a link to that and link it in the show notes, because I know that I've got several clients with chronic pain that listen to this podcast, and I think that that would be extremely helpful. So the brain lies to you, and it bundles things up, and it's happy to change if you want it to, it sounds like, right? I guess to sum that up. And then a bunch of skills as well, right?
And celebration is so important. We so underestimate celebrating ourselves. Notice that all our progress when we're little is based on celebration, because our brain goes, oh my God, that feels good. Let me try again. Have you ever seen a parent screaming at a toddler that's trying to walk? You idiot. How could you not take another step? That is so easy. You should have done this. Of course not. They go, oh my God, you took one step. How awesome. And the kid is flat on the face. But they look at it and go, oh, they're happy. Okay, let me try again. So that is programmed into your brain. We desire celebration. It makes us feel good. Now, also, it's worth knowing that dopamine is counterproductive when it comes to serotonin. Dopamine is important to feel good when you're sitting at home, you're cozy. That's dopamine and oxytocin working together. And that's a calm, happy hormone. But if you want to be motivated, you know, go with full force and follow your dreams and be excited, that's serotonin. And that can be one of the ways you can do it, is add a lot of saffron into your diet, or get a supplement with a lot of saffron that has therapeutic value if it's right for you. Not everybody can take every, so please don't just self-medicate. Talk to somebody like Tracy or Dr. Amen or me, so we can run some assessments and make sure that you're not overdoing it, because self-medication usually leads to a lot more problems than success. And it is so important to recognize when the natural ways and the coaching, the therapy, the natural ways don't work. That's the time to go on medication. Medication is not your enemy. And it's not also the first line of defense. It's the last line of defense. And I want to so much encourage you guys to use the whole plethora of what's out there for mental wellness and your brain health. Because as healthy your brain can get, the better quality of life you have.
Well, and well spoken by somebody who has used her scientific knowledge of the brain with neuroscience and also coaching for the emotional piece, right? And with all these really awesome skills, how to trick your brain, all this stuff that you have been able to say in such a short amount of time. I do want to take a quick trip over to your website. I'm going to go ahead and put it on the screen here. If you want to learn more and learn more about Dominika, and if you want to receive some coaching and or services from Dominika, there's that. And I'm going to actually share the screen and put her website up here. And there it is. And so, yeah, if you could just lead us through. We've got this Change Your Life in 6 Easy Steps. I could probably see a lot of people clicking on that. There's your smiling face, right? Is there anything that you'd like us to see or know about your website? Because there's just so much here.
So on the website, you have blog that I give general scientific-based simple ideas what to do with anxiety, anger, and other things. You have all my services, which is one-on-one coaching, group coaching, which is an online, the cheapest version of me. It's an online program with 6 very basic things that are pre-recorded with worksheets. But what you do get extra is you get added to a group that is live, and I support you live via WhatsApp, and you can ask questions all you want. So it's not one-on-one, but you do get support, and we kind of help you through the whole thing. Another thing that you will not find right now on the website, although there's a separate website, is my book that just came out. And it is, I'm so thrilled that it's staying at number 10 in self-help books. It's a short book and it's full of exercises, full of stories, and full of examples of neuroscience, how it can use it for your benefit. It's for people who get overwhelmed. It's for people who have anxiety. It's for people who set goals and usually fall through. This is basically end of January is the time where most people give up on their goals. And I teach you how to do that so you actually thrive, how to set goals differently and not be in the rat race and still be successful, not to be stressed and still be successful, not to be overwhelmed and be successful and achieve your goals. There are scientific ways and other ways than being part of this go big or go home, you know, and you got to burn your boats. And don't get me wrong, I love Tony Robbins. I crew Tony Robbins events and I do a lot of stuff I learn from him. And at the same time, I also realize that there are a lot of people who are not ready for the revolution and they love evolution. I love evolution. So if you're a feminine energy or a person in a place where you're not ready for a radical change, you just want to blossom and grow and enjoy life, that book is for you. And it's called The Magic of Dreaming Big, Acting Small, and Achieving Success. And it's at the price of coffee on Amazon. And it talks about the philosophy of setting goals that are achievable, that you celebrate on a daily basis, and having a bucket of goals and not setting goals that are impossible. So I'm one of those people that when you tell me shoot for the stars, my brain goes, oh no, that's too much work. I'm never going to get there. I'm not doing this. And I give up. I stop doing it. Even if I have this push at the beginning, I'm like, nah, never mind. So I found a way, and it turned out that it's quite scientific way, because our brain gets overwhelmed. Again, if it, you give it too much to work on, it shuts down and you withdraw. That's where overwhelm comes from, because your brain is constructed like this. Or you have enough of push for 3 months and then you're so exhausted, your brain is so exhausted with the new things that you're telling it to learn and to do, that you lose the momentum. So there is a way of living that allows you to, I don't shoot for the stars anymore. I shoot for the stratosphere. First, I climb Mount Everest, then I shoot for the stratosphere. And when I'm at the stratosphere, I look around like, the moon is quite close. Okay, next time I'm going to shoot for the moon. So I shoot next time for the moon because I've been to the stratosphere and that's quite close. So when I get to the moon, I go, you know what? Nobody told me which star to shoot for, but there are so many to choose from. and then I shoot for the stars. So it's taking tiny steps and celebrating every little success, being grateful. There's so much science. We have brain scans. What happens to your brain when you're practicing true gratitude, where it's emotional connection, and praying? That works too. Mm-hmm. If you pray correctly. I mean, I love that because it changes your brain. Literally, we have scientific scans of brain where your brain rewires while you're practicing gratitude. How amazing is that?
Wow. And just your energy about this is just amazing as well. I can see why you're just such a great emotional support as a coach, but then also have this knowledge in science and neuroscience that is just absolutely incredible. I've learned so much. I'm going to go ahead and flash your website again here. And that's a Your Brain Coach and then D, Your Brain Coach D, for you who are not on YouTube that cannot see this. And so check out Dominika and all of her good stuff there. And is there anything in closing you'd like to say to our audience?
Your brain, just like liver, can heal itself, can change itself. It can take over functions. Most of the time, everything you're experiencing, 90% of the time, is absolutely curable, changeable, adjustable. There is no reason why you would want to choose to be unhappy the moment you realize the life is not the way you want it to be. There's absolutely no reason to choose to be miserable. There's no reason to choose to get angry or choose to be frustrated. I'm using word choose on purpose, because the moment you realize you have a certain behavior, certain thought, if you don't do anything with it, from the moment you realize it is your responsibility to take care of it, there's no more my parents, my grandparents, I had a hard life. The moment you realize you have something, it is up to you to change it. And life on the other side, when you start working on you and people are unable to stress you out, people are unable to change your mood most of the time, when almost all the time you're enjoying life. I'm not talking about being on a total high. I'm just saying about enjoying life and smiling and noticing people opening the door for you and being grateful for that and letting them know that you've noticed and showing them that, oh my God, thank you so much for opening that door. That made me smile. You just made that person's day. You changed that person's life for that one moment. They felt seen. There's so much we can do when we're in the right headspace. And I would say actually in your brain space. So.
Yeah, well, I would have to agree with that for sure. So Dominika, it was great having you on the show. Thank you so much for imparting your wisdom and teaching me about neuroscience, because honestly, I didn't know a whole lot and you've really opened the door. Hopefully my listeners will be just as informed as I am and will check out some different modalities of healing, because there are a lot out there for sure. So, all right. Well, you take care. Thank you again for being on the show. I appreciate you. And thanks for being a guest on Common Chaos Podcast.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. And I hope you guys had some value and you get to implement and make your life a little bit better tomorrow and today.
Absolutely. You take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Calming the Chaos Podcast. If you found this podcast interesting or helpful, please like, subscribe, and share it with your friends. You can also go to www.calmingthechaospodcast.com to listen to all Calming the Chaos Podcast episodes. I look forward to sharing my next podcast episode with you. In the meantime, take care.
Hell of the moon or something like that.